Don't be afraid. It's Rosie on the house. Be informed. Be aware. I wrote these all night long, Eric. I got 1,000 of them.
I like it already.
To join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. Because we're every Arizona homeowner's best friend. We're talking bees this hour with Eric Nisbet of Nisbet Family Farms, who's brought in a couple special guests. Why don't you introduce your entourage here?
Okay, well, right now, the one you won't hear is on the camera. This is my daughter, Leah. She's part of the family business. I have my son sitting here next to me, Bailey. Say hello, Bailey.
Hey, how are you?
He's the other beekeeper in the family right now. It's just the two of us right now pretty much doing this. He's fifth generation. I'm fourth generation.
Has it all been in Arizona?
Mostly, yeah. Our family came over from Europe, brought bees with us, but they were the European bees. It's been mostly because we've been farmers and we've been in agriculture that we needed to have them. And it's always nice to have a jar of honey around when you're having pancakes.
I've never put honey on my pancakes.
You have to try it.
Honey and pancakes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I love it on toasted bread, honey by itself, just right off of a spoon. Never on a pancake.
I grew up with it, so we didn't have syrup. It was honey.
Well, and what else would you expect from a beekeeping family?
Well, yeah. Well, we also put it in our ice cream when we would make our own ice cream. Honey's so much easier on your body than sugar. There's nothing commercial about it. There's nothing chemical about it. It's just right from the hive to you, at least the raw honey.
And how did y'all originally, does anyone know how five generations ago that generation got into beekeeping?
It was just because they were farmers. You need to have wax for candles. They didn't have lights back then, so that was a good source. Had to have, pollination's always been important. Having sweets to make breads with has always been important, so there's always been a need for bees. And you see it up in the tree, it's almost calling to you to come take it. So that's when people originally, it was like, well, there's some right there. And you can eat it straight off, just like it is. You chew on the wax. The wax is good for you. The honey's good for you. It's got pollen in it. It's good for allergies, sore throats. So probably a lot of reasons. Back then, people were more medicinal about stuff. You didn't go to a doctor and get an x-ray five generations ago. And we only went back five generations because we can't pronounce the names after that.
Fair enough. How many hives are y'all managing today?
I think we have almost 70 hybrid Africanized hives.
And how many bees per hive?
I don't know. What do you say, son? Between, 15,000 and 50,000, depending on how many stacks we got on them?
Yeah, the ones that are stacked about three high can house up to around 75,000 bees.
And so where do you take 75,000 bees to survive? I mean, a colony that size is going to need ample resources.
Well, the nice thing about it is we're out on BLM land, which is the Bureau of Land Management. It's desert. There's a lot of desert flora out there. There's a lot of plants, a lot of Palo Verde, tons of mesquite. And they fly between 5 and 7 miles from the hive to get whatever food and water they need. And you've always got people planting stuff in their yards that's flowers. You've always got a water supply out there. And then there's always little artesian springs and stuff like that out in the desert. They find all kinds of places. We took them where there would be the resources. And right now we're watching them slowly build up for when we get ready to do harvest. And it's out there. They're finding it. Each bee comes and goes. We watch them with pollen sacks. If we don't see that, then we start thinking about moving them.
Now, how many different types of bees are there? You've mentioned two so far, European and an Africanized.
You've got bumblebees, you've got the wood bees, you've got the solitary bees. I could probably sit here all day and name them off. You've got ones that don't live in a group, and then you've got the ones that do live in a group. And
now, will they all pollinate?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the name of a bee, is it? But not all of them will create honey.
No. A lot of them, it's their own food source. But the negative side of it is they're all affected by the same poisons and carcinogens that we are. So when you do away with them, you do away with the animal that's going to pollinate the plant you're eating the fruit from.
And the reason we invited Jal in is because a lot of times when somebody comes to an Africanized bee colony, their reaction is to exterminate it on property.
Yeah.
Y'all do live bee removal,
yes,
even for Africanized.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, you know, in the beginning, we were doing it because the plan was we were going to utilize their resources. We were going to put them in a box, let them acclimate, start, you know, doing the wax, start building the cone. And then we were going to go in and take out their queen and introduce our own queen, which was a European queen. And then we'd get a hive that we could work. Well, the problem is they didn't accept the queen. We would give it the 7 to 8 day time that you give it. You know, they got candy wax at the end of the box. You get the queen and she's already pre-bred. When you take out their queen, they get used to that one, at least in normal circumstances. And they accept her as the new queen. And then when she comes out, she starts laying brood. In about 30 to 45 days, you would think it changed, the whole personality of the hive would change. That didn't happen. They killed the queen, made their own queen, and kept right on going like nothing happened. We were going to do that at first. We were just going to use them for that reason and try to breed them out. But they're such a resilient, tough breed. It's not going to happen. We've tried everything. You can't fight them. You might as well join them. They're a better bee. They're more robust. They can survive on very little resources. And we've seen very few things affect them. We had a hive that got mites. We didn't do anything about it, and they thrived. The European hive that got mites, how long did that survive?
A few weeks.
Yeah, and you're putting a pesticide in there to kill a bug that lives on a bug. So you're making your bees are already sick to begin with, and now you're putting something in there to make them sicker. We've watched the Africanized bees actually take ants that invaded and encapsulate them in wax. You see little arms and legs poking out a little ball of wax. They will fight. They're a very difficult bee that we found to work so far. That was another reason we didn't like them, because they're escape artists. We couldn't hardly keep them in the box when we put them in there. Now we use excluders. We use really tight boxes. We build everything in-house. The ones you buy through the book aren't exactly as tight as ours. Ours, if you put a bottom on it, they'd hold water. So that was the idea of getting into it like we did. My dad had a couple of hives. Hey, here you go. I don't want to work these anymore. And we went from 2 hives to 50 hives to over 70 hives now.
And so what do you do with those hives and that honey?
Well, the honey we sell raw after each time we have a season. And the idea is to bring back the pollination in this country. They're having a hard time with it. They're having to bring out 300 or 400 hives to pollinate somebody who's got 4,000 apricot trees.
From different states.
And they're going through states. They're catching diseases from that state. You have these guys that lose 70% of their hives that do pollinate. And that would be like somebody taking all 3 tires off your car, leaving you 1 and taking the engine. I mean, you're basically stuck. I don't know how you absorb that kind of a loss. We don't have hive collapse with the Africanized bees. We don't have the stillborn type stuff that goes on with them. And what was the other one that goes on where they had to burn the hive? What was that one?
The wax moths.
Yeah, the wax moths. We don't have that much of a problem with the wax moths with the bees either. The only enemy they have are the ants, you know, and we moved them out where there aren't any. And we've got them in such a way where now the ants can't even get to them. And at the same time, we gave them their own water supply. But originally, we got into it to sell the honey and use them for pollination.
And you had made an interesting point in preparation for this. That talked to that Africanized bee, and it compared, you know, when I asked why save the Africanized bees, all you hear on the news is that they're going to kill us all, or we're all going to die from these Africanized bees. So
I'm not dead.
Why would you mess with them? But the biggest honey producing companies in the world are
in Mexico and Brazil,
and those
are all Africanized. That's where they came up from. Oops. They should start calling them Brazilian. Ized bees, or Mexicanized bees, or Central Americanized bees, because that's where they came up from. They simply just took an African bee and bred it with a rainforest bee, one of the ones they had down there, as an experiment to try to make a better, more resilient bee, and they've got one that has a horrible attitude. If you learn how to work it, and you learn what its traits are, like they did down there, they embraced that bee, and their production's doubled.
Interesting. Well, we're here for the Arizona homeowner at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And you can also text in to 411-923 if you've got a question or you're looking for advice on how to handle the bees around your home. This hour's designed for you. Starting with Gary in Fountain Hills. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got a stucco house, and bees go through little holes in the house. And the Gila woodpeckers come along, and they try to get the honey from the bees. And so they peck big holes in the house. Anything I can do to keep the bees out of the house and in the roof and the Gilas from... Mainly getting the Gila woodpeckers from stop pecking on our stucco house.
This is a question for me. Well, the first thing about the bees is they like to live in the house because you heat it and you cool it. We would the only thing that we can do is remove the bees and then seal up the area they went into. We have a chemical that we use that's non-toxic that we put in there that actually removes the bees' pheromone because bees like to live where other bees have been. When a pesticide company comes out and they spray a carcinogen in there, which is what it is, it's a neurotoxin to kill the animals, it wears off after a while, and then other bees come along, and, hey, bees used to live here, and they move right in. The thing about the woodpeckers is we've had problems with them for years, with our fruit trees, with our houses, all that. I don't know how you get rid of the woodpeckers, but I know I can remove those bees, and they won't come back.
And that pheromone removal, how do you get that completely gone if it's not being sprayed with? Well, what's different about your process?
That ours has been trial and error. So I'm not going to reveal the secret to it, but it does work. And a lot of times, too, we'll fill the area with an expanding foam afterwards. So there's no way they could get in there if they wanted to. Also, fiberglass is another good one.